Please be advised, this episode may include depictions of murder, sexual content, and foul language that is not suitable for children. Parental discretion is advised. Hey, welcome back to Wickedness. I'm Lenny.
And I'm Matt.
And we hope you guys had a very Merry Christmas.
Yes, we do. As we get ready for a whole 2023 coming up as well, huh?
Yep. This is our last episode of the year.
Ooh.
I know. Fun.
Well, I had a great Christmas. I don't know about you. I guess you did because I saw you, huh? You seem to be doing good.
We saw each other. I got spoiled.
Maybe a little.
Mm-hmm. Just you a did little. Too.
Yeah, I did. I had a really good Christmas. It was nice. Had fun.
Can you hear how hard the wind is blowing even through the headphones?
Yeah, I heard it.
That is crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, we've got some major windage going. Yeah.
I mean, we had single digits. Our pool was like an ice rink. I think the whole country got blasted by this Siberian whatever, but... on top of that, now today we've got, it's warmer temperatures, but it's freaking windy. Windy.
Yeah, it's warming up, but it is windy out there. Matter of fact, I actually got up on a roof a little bit ago. I'm crazy like that.
You're a daredevil.
I am a daredevil. I was trying to see if I could fly.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't happen.
Do you have life insurance?
Oh yeah.
Then stay off roofs.
Stay off roofs.
Okay.
Hopefully we don't, speaking of wind, hopefully we don't have anything else chiming into our microphones like we did our last episode.
I know that was creepy. I don't know what you guys all thought about it, but it creeped us out, as I'm sure you could tell by our reaction.
Yeah, well, and two, last night it made perfect sense when we were watching some show about like police officers, EMT, and
paranormal emergency.
Yes, good.
I know.
Look
right?
at you. paranormal emergency, and a guy made it really well. Like he was a young rookie cop, and he went into this old abandoned building, but he said the noise was audible, but he couldn't make out what they were saying, and that was perfect. Yes, it was very like for us. I know it was such a small little snippet for you guys. What you heard, if you heard it and listened to it. If you didn't, you need to go back and listen to our last episode, but. It was so audible and it seemed so much longer than what that the snippet was. Yeah. So anyway, that was crazy.
It was. So we hope you guys were very entertained by that. But
yes.
Anyway, let's get into this. This week's episode, it will be short, but I know I always say this, but a good one.
I like short and sweet to the point sometimes.
Yeah, it just, this episode we're about to talk about, this just shows you, or it made me think about how freaking crazy and out of control some kids can be. Like, because you hear about this kind of stuff all the time, a little too much, I think. But,
okay.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about the killing of Barbara Keim. I hope I'm saying her name right. I'm pretty sure I am, but Barbara was a 41-year-old divorcee, single mom who had just moved to Middlebury, Indiana. She had two ex-husbands, neither of whom I could find their names, but her first husband is said to have been a preacher and the father of a rebellious teenage daughter named Hannah Stone. And she also had a really sweet little 5-year-old son named Timothy with her second husband.
Okay.
But I think it's important to note that I'm pretty sure Hannah's dad was a preacher because in the headlines... It's all the preacher's daughter. Oh. Talks about the preacher's daughter.
Yeah. Well, you know, those PKs, those preacher's kids are the worst.
I know. You would know.
I wouldn't.
His dad's a former minister.
Yes.
Man of the cloth. And this is why my husband's so corrupt.
So the whole thing about PKs is preacher's kids are going to show you that they can do what you do and show you they can up the ante and do it even worse, more aggressive, more crazy. And that's a PK.
Yeah. Well, you guys, if you are a preacher's kid out there and you're listening to this, you don't have to. You can just be good. It's okay.
It is.
You don't say challenge accepted. Okay, just move on. It's all right.
There you go.
So anyway, Barbara worked as a nurse at Elkhart General Hospital to support her family, and she stayed active and social in the local community. She was said to be well-liked and well-known around town and at work and at her church. Her relationship with her daughter was known to be really strained, though, because Hannah was very rebellious. They argued and fought often, and it was frequently about her relationship with Hannah's boyfriend, Spencer Crimpets. I love that name, Crimpets.
Yeah.
I feel like he should be going out to up to Mount Crimpets with the Grinch. Yeah. But anyway, was it Crumpet? I don't even remember. Anyway, whatever. I'm getting sidetracked. Christmas is over. Apparently, Spencer grew up in an abusive household. He was sexually molested when he was 5 years old, and he just had a very bad disposition. Like you would, I think, if you grew up in a really bad, you know, home like that. But mm-hmm. he was said to be smart, but he got bad grades and didn't apply himself in school. He attended 13 different schools and began drinking alcohol in elementary school. Jeez. This kid was doomed.
Yeah.
In my mind. Mm-mm-mm. By the time he became a teenager, he was smoking marijuana and dabbling in heroin and LSD. He left home when he was 16 years old, and he drifted between friends' houses, not having an actual home to live in. So he's like couch surfing.
Yeah.
This was a huge problem for Barbara, and it would be for me too.
Oh, of course.
Like if one of our daughters came home and was like, yeah, my boyfriend is this and couch surfing and things like that. And I would have a serious problem with it too. I can see why she would be upset that her daughter's dating this drug abuser.
And we did.
We did, yes.
Problems with some of these things that we won't really elaborate on.
No, but we did have some issues. And at one point, one of my daughters, I told her that she either broke up with her boyfriend or she got out of my house. And in the middle of the night, she got out of my house.
Yeah, she made her choice.
She did. She left her keys and everything else and just left in the middle of the night. We woke up in the morning and found that. So
she's the hard-headed one.
She's so great, though.
She is.
She has got her crap together, finally.
She's doing great.
But she is in her 20s now, so this was a long time ago.
Yes.
But I will note, she was 18 when I told her to get out.
Yeah.
So she was old enough to do that. I didn't just kick my 16-year-old out like this poor kid was apparently at 16.
Right.
Like, I know. So Barbara kept trying to get her daughter to break up with him. But, of course, hard-headed teenager, she wouldn't. So all of this really came to a head in August of 2005 when Barbara kicked her daughter out of her apartment after Hannah refused to break up with Spencer. So she just, I'm imagining, just like us, she came to her, her tolerance, she couldn't take anymore.
Yeah.
And this pissed off Hannah and Spencer. They thought she was being controlling and unreasonable, so they came up with a plan to exact revenge on Barbara.
Oh, man.
So Barbara is sitting here. She's like, break up with your drug-using, couch-surfing loser boyfriend and get your crap together. And Hannah's saying no. And so her mom resorts to what she does and kicks her out. And now these teenagers are pissed.
Yeah.
So I don't blame her for kicking them out. As a mom, you know, again, we had our fair share of issues with our teenagers back in the day. There's only so much you can put up with, and you're trying to get them to grow up, and it's really hard. So I see where she's coming from. And the day before they were going to put their vengeance plan into action, these two, in great teenager fashion, they go and they see their friend, who's 17, Aaron McDonald. So now they've got this new guy,
little trio
in the mix. Let me tell you, they went out to hang out, get high, and ended up getting him in on their plan to kill Barbara.
Oh man.
This is how they're going to exact their revenge.
Okay.
So at first, Aaron wasn't interested, but then they offered him $400 and supplied him with a gun, so he agreed to help because that's all it takes.
Heck yeah.
$400. Heck yeah, I'm going to kill someone.
Jeez.
So the next night on August 4th, which is my birthday. But the next night on August 4th, 2005, Barbara was home alone and Hannah knew she would be home alone. But I don't think that would have mattered to them so much. They were just mad that she kicked them out. However, her son Timothy was with his dad, thankfully, because I would think they might have killed a little boy too in their drug-induced stupidity. But that's just an assumption. I don't know what they would have done. I'm just saying, like, I bet you it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
So Hannah knocked on the apartment door and called through it that she needed to pick up some of her clothes that she had left behind when she was kicked out the day before. So Barbara opened the door, trusting her daughter, as you would, right? But Spencer ran inside and tackled her. Then he pulled out his gun and told her to be quiet. Aaron later told police that Barbara had started screaming when Spencer ran in.
Oh, sure. I bet she did.
Yeah, I bet she did, too. The court documents showed that Spencer tied Barbara's arms, covered her eyes, and duct taped her mouth shut. Then they took her ATM card and got her PIN number from her. And then Hannah stayed behind in the apartment to act as a decoy to reassure anyone who might have heard her mom screaming that everything was okay. And people, you know, she was just kicked out the day before, so it's unlikely a lot of people knew.
Mm-hmm.
So Spencer and Aaron put Barbara in a van and drove to the local shopping mall that had an ATM. They tried to get money out, but they were only able to withdraw $200. And if you remember, they had promised Aaron that he would get $400 for helping. So they're short on paying him alone. They did try to pull out more, but were only able to get the $200 at the time. So I'm pretty sure, you know, like our ATM, we have a limit. If you can't go above that limit, so I'm sure Barbara had something like that set up on hers, too.
Exactly.
After getting the money from the ATM, they got back into the van, and Spencer drove south out of town and into rural Kosciuszko County.
Yeah, that's a hard one to say.
I know I butchered that, yeah. But Aaron said it felt like hours, but Spencer eventually stopped the van. He took Aaron's gun and marched Barbara into the middle of a cornfield. He made her get on her knees and recite the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, wow.
Right? When she was finished praying, he asked her if she'd said amen. And then he shot her in her head, in the back of her head once, killing her. Spencer originally intended to kill Aaron as well, but instead, they ended up splitting the $200 and spent it on cigarettes, marijuana, and rolling papers. And I'm sure Spencer regretted not killing Aaron.
Yeah.
Let me.
Right.
Like, yeah. So the boys then drove back to the apartment where Hannah was waiting. Aaron testified that Spencer told him that he was going to have sex with Hannah in Barbara's bed and then going to sleep in it for the night. He said Spencer told him it felt good to take someone's soul, which shows some serious issues that on is, this kid's part.
Yeah, it's not good.
No. So once they got to the apartment, they all settled in and got high, which is normal, right? Like this is. These kids are just so whacked out of their brains as they're thinking life is just going to go on.
Right.
And Aaron remembered Hannah being giddy and excited, saying at one point, quote, "I love that my mom's dead," end quote.
Oh, my goodness.
She is so jacked up.
Yeah.
Or at least was. I would hope that she's grown a little.
Well, and then too, so much of a fantasy land.
Yes.
It's a sick fantasy land. But
it's very sick. Yeah. But she's obviously just as sick as her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But when Barbara didn't show up for work the next day, and then also didn't show up to pick up her son from her ex-husband, her sister, Barbara's sister, ended up reporting her missing. So someone must have been reaching out to her to say, hey, have you seen Barbara?
Yeah.
At that point, Hannah was also considered missing since the family didn't know that they had had a falling out and that Hannah was upset with her mom. So nobody knew, and they thought Hannah was missing too.
Okay.
All they knew was that both of them were missing from their home when they went to check on them. And friends and family were handing out flyers around town and spoke to reporters, publicizing the case and trying to find them. But greed and stupidity catches up with us really fast in this case. Mm-hmm. Aaron was mad that he had been gypped the $300. Remember, they promised him $400. He only got $100 because they had split the $200 that they were able to get out of the ATM. Do you follow that?
Yep, I gotcha.
So the day after the murder, on August 5th, Aaron went back to the apartment and stole a check. He's brilliant. He made it out to himself for $800 because he's also greedy.
Oh, my gosh.
He said he had planned to buy marijuana and cocaine because that's what I would spend it on.
Yeah.
But when he tried to cash it, the police were called and he was arrested. Which is good. I'm not sure if they had something set up on her checking account or something, you know, because she's now missing. And then suddenly there's a check trying to be cashed from her account.
Sure. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah. So he folded under the pressure of the cops very quickly. And he told the police exactly what had happened to Barbara and where they could find her dead body. So this is why I said, I bet you Spencer regrets not killing Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, Spencer, and Aaron were all arrested on August 8th. Spencer and Hannah had been hiding out at a motel in nearby Goshen, and when they were arrested, they found some of Barbara's belongings with them. They were all charged with murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and criminal confinement. The prosecuting attorney said he would seek life imprisonment without parole for all three of them. So several months later, on March 10th, 2006, the prosecutor said that Spencer had pled guilty on all counts. Spencer was sentenced to life in prison without parole for the murder of Barbara, and an additional 65 years was added for the additional charges, all to be served consecutively. And Spencer died in prison in January of 2015 by committing suicide. Mm. Prosecutors agreed to drop life sentences if both Aaron and Hannah agreed to plead guilty to all three charges. So they got a lighter deal because they didn't pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
In April of 2006, Aaron pled guilty and received 62 years in prison and would be eligible for parole in 2036. His attorney said his punishment was too harsh considering his history, but the sentence didn't change and he died of an overdose in prison in 2020.
Mm. See, I mean, it just shows you, I mean, just the life that you lead.
Right? Yeah.
It's bad.
Also in April of 2006, Hannah pled guilty and received a 100-year sentence and was ordered to have no contact with her younger brother. And her earliest possible release date is 2053. She'll be 65 years old if they allow her to be set free, if they parole her.
Man.
Right?
My goodness.
So.
Just for, I mean, one, taking a life, but yeah, and then over giving somebody $400 to do it. I mean, and then two, she kicked you out. You're 16 and you wanted to be with this guy anyway. Like,
yeah,
why didn't
you
just,
mad?
Why just go do your thing?
Couch surf with him then.
Exactly.
If that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
But no, you decide you're going to go kill her because that solves what problem?
Exactly.
It just created more for
created you. Created more problems. And that's what we do though.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good old human nature. Let's create more problems for ourselves.
Yes. And we're not going to take the time to think things through, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
I hope that she looks back at this and realizes how stupid it was. And that any teenagers who are thinking of doing something similar or, you know, are familiar with this story and realize that they won't get away with murder. You're not going to get away with it. Even serial killers get caught eventually.
Yes.
So it's insane to think that someone would kill their own mom, but it happens all the time. Look at the Menendez brothers.
Right.
And I mean, if you watch ID Channel, you see it all the time. Like it just, when you murder someone in their own home, the first people who get looked at are the significant others, the kids, people in the home.
Right.
Whether it be a niece, nephew, aunt, cousin, friend.
Hormonal rages too. And all these chemicals are all in your body just doing all sorts of things at those ages is
right.
Dangerous.
Right.
Or it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and I know police didn't have to investigate this case. Aaron confessed and told them everything that happened. But if they had actually tried to solve this case, if they had to do any investigating to figure it out, they still would have found out it was Hannah.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't do anything to cover their tracks. They didn't do any, like, this was definitely a, I'm a druggie and can't think things
clearly,
through kind of murder.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you were going to get caught. You're so dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it for this week's episode.
All right.
Because we want you guys to go and party for New Year's. not be listening to us.
Yeah, think about other things, right? All right. So, well, we hope you guys like this one. Again, short, sweet, to the point, but a good one. Also, just so you know, you can contact us at wickednesstruecrime@yahoo.com. You can check us out at our website at wickednesstruecrimeandtheunknown.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at wickednesstruecrime. Check us out on Anchor at anchor.fm/wickedness, where you can also support us if you feel like lending your support by clicking on that support button. And last but not least, please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. This helps us get our podcast out to more people and make sure that you don't miss another episode. We hope you all have a fun and safe New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We have no real plans, of course, for us, I don't think.
No, I wanted to throw a party this year, but we didn't plan it with enough time to get people invited and stuff. So looks like it will be a quiet New Year's
Eve
for us.
Maybe a quiet one. You never know. Something may come up. But anyway, If you guys have plans, though, be safe, have fun, and we'll talk to you next year. Bye.
Bye.